Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Neighbor, call a friend, let them know that the Breakthrough Broadcast is
on the air. Today we're going to be speaking about an important topic, which is prayer. And our topic will be a conversational walk with God, a conversational walk with God, a walk with God that every Christian, every person that's petitioning before God, going before God, that they need to have a conversational walk with Him. And I mean each and every day of our lives. So our text will come from, we have several scriptures. The first one will come from Psalm, the 42nd chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse, and then Mark 1 through 35, and Luke 18, 1 through 8, Colossians 4 and 2, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 8, and Hebrews 13 and 15. The central truth is Christians are to cultivate a lifestyle that includes prayer. And the key verse today, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That came from the KJV, and I would like to read the NIV, which is denote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Let's go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great and for the mighty things that you have done, great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Have your way today. Move in the midst of your people. Touch them like never before. Cause them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, to receive all that you have for them on today and on every day. And this we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Our topic today, again, is conversational, a conversational walk with God. We would like to introduce to you our speakers for today here on the Breakthrough Broadcast. They are none other than Dr. June Normeal, and we have with us Pastor Francina Shanks. We have three subtopics that we're going to be discussing. The one of God is ready. They're on ready. They're excited about what God is about to speak through them. Well, the first topic is fellowship with God through prayer. And then we have to follow, pray for everyone. And the last and third one is persevere in prayer. Why don't we just go to Dr. June Normeal as she talked to us today about fellowship with God through prayer. Dr. June Normeal.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. My topic again is fellowship with God through prayer. And I'd like to first tell you what prayer is. Prayer is simply just communicating with God. A lot of times, prayer can seem so complicated because people, and some people don't even know what prayer is. They think it's something very hard to do. It is challenging, but it can be done. It's simply communicating with God. Just like you may communicate with a person, you talk to that person, you wait for them to respond to you. That's simply what prayer is what we call communicating with God. Simply, we talk to God, we tell him things, we ask him questions, and after we talk to God, we make our requests known unto him, we ask him questions, we sit and we wait to hear God respond to us, and we annoy that response by what we feel in our spirit, or it could be revealed through a song, through the word of God. Person, it's just simply communicating with God. It's a two-way conversation. I know a lot of time we're not knowing what prayer really is, and by looking at the trend, we so happen to just blurt off and just continue, just go on, tell God everything we want to know, everything, how we feel, and we just simply, we just jump up just like that, and without even listening to what God has to say, not even knowing that he's supposed to say anything back to us, but prayer is simply communicating with God. And prayer should be a lifestyle of a believer. It should be something so simple. It should be a daily routine, as though we wake up every morning, every night, before we go to bed, we'll wash our face. That's how important prayer is to us as being a believer. That's how often we should be able and we should pray to God. We should pray daily to God. We should communicate with him daily. We got to have that fellowship with God through prayer. We got to have that desire to want to commune with God, because God wants to commune with us. It's as simple as that. God look at us as being made in his image and in his likeness. He started in the Garden of Eden, how he had Adam and Eve, and they communicated with God daily every morning. So sin separated them from communicating with God. And that's what happens when we get in a place with God. Sometimes we may feel like we have done something, things that we're not doing has caused us to have a separation, not fit in the presence of God, to cause us to be in a place that we don't want to pray to God. We might feel ashamed, but God don't want us to feel that way. He is always and already to be there, already and always ready to be there for us to communicate to him, because he's our Father. He cares about what we do, whether it's good or bad. Even David in Psalms 42, he talked about, he knew what it's like to have that relationship with God and to commune with God. And then the Psalms don't even say in 42 what caused him to separate him with that relationship with God and commune with him. But he knew that something was missing. He had yearned to have that desire, that relationship with God that he had had in the past. And he knew a separation had took place, and he yearned that. And he also would use the illustration as a deer panting by the waters, panting by the waters that caused him to want to yield and to want to be in that place back with God to communicate with him. But he said, just like a deer panting for water, that's how I pant for thee, God. I want you. I want that relationship with God. And if anybody know, if you have been in a place with God, once you've been in, had a taste of God, or taste and see that the Lord is good, you want to be in that place with God, because one of the loneliest things that a person can ever experience is separation from someone who they love, especially when that person is not around. You can't contact that person. That's how I feel when we're in a place that we can't communicate with God. We got to have that desire and that relationship with God that calls us just to pant like that deer for that brook of the water. We got to be in that relationship that we just want to love God like that. It could be that person that you have in your life, your husband or your wife or your child, or that significant other person that you really love, and you just can't wait to talk to them. And y'all may have some kind of problem, something that caused y'all to separate that communication, and it caused a gap between your relationship. But you know how you felt about that person. You say, whatever it takes, I miss them. I want to talk to them. That's that same kind of yearning, that same kind of desire we have to have, to have that desire to communicate with God. But David didn't say what caused him in 42 to cause him to have that separation with God, but we know he yearned to be in relationship with God. And also, we know the things such as sin, doubt, or maybe distraction for seeking God, it can make us feel separated from God's presence. But God always wants us to know and always wants to feel that he is there for us. And we got to just want, he wants to enjoy that relationship with him through prayer. But we must first, you know, we got to seek that communion. We got to seek that communion. And we need to have that thirst to spend time with God. We have to spend time with God. And a lot of things happen in our lives, and it may cause us not to be in that place of seeking God and talking to God every day. But we have to just make time. We got to take time to fellowship with God, because you wouldn't believe it, but it's so true. And if you don't believe it, you need to believe it, because it's true. Just like we desire to have that love and that fellowship with someone that we could tangibly see, God has even greater love and desire to hear from us. You, his child, no matter who you are, what state you may feel like, you might feel like you're not worthy enough, but God desires to have that relationship with you. He desires to have that time with you. He desires you to seek him. That's why you have to make time for God, just like Jesus did. They talks about it in Mark 1:35. He said in the morning, Jesus wake up before day. He went out to a solitary place, and he prayed. He took time, even though he had disciples around him and people all around him thronging to see him and for him to do miraculous miracles. Jesus took time to be in communion with God, to take time to pray to God. We have to do that same thing, because a lot of things that we know in our lives today, we all go through different things, and we surrender to the business of our live. We'd be so busy. Sometimes we get so busy that we fail sometimes maybe to spend time with God in prayer, even in his word. But we got to just learn by Jesus' example how he just took time. He made time to be in that place with God. And that's what we have to do. Jesus made it a priority. Even when, you know, things be busy in our life, we have to make it a priority to take time, to make time, to spend that time with God. Because if we don't, situations and circumstances, it'll demand our time. If we give into it, we'll have no time for God. We'll always put it last, but we need to see God early in the morning. Make up a way and get in a place in a solitude area and have a God make it affordable for you and best for you. Maybe you may do great after you got the children off of school or whatever, your husband going to work. Whatever time is best for your schedule, make time, take time sometime that day to make God somewhere in your schedule. But if you do it daily, you do it early in the morning, you can somewhat get that kind of feel, and then you kind of create your day. You have to like set the atmosphere to be able to do that before God. And not only that, you know, God, we have to offer the sacrifice of prayer. They talk about that in Hebrews 13 and 15. It say, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That means always. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We always have something to thank God for. We always going to have something to thank God for. And we are encouraged to continue to praise God. Praise God, not because of what he do for us, but just simply because who he is. And sacrifice of praise means that we offer to God the praise and worship that rightfully belongs to him. Even if sometimes we might not even feel it, but it belongs to God. It rightfully belongs to him. We have to offer up that praise and worship to him, that sacrifice of praise. And sacrifice don't mean that it's a hard thing to do. It's not that we're not, you're not even talking about, that means it's a struggle to praise God. We're not talking about that. That's not what it means. It means that we offer to God the praise and worship that rightfully belongs to him. No matter what's happening around us, whether we feel the presence of God or not, God's love is directed to us. And he daily deserves our praise. And even in our dark times of life, we can choose to praise God. Even in our situation, even the sun shining, even when it's raining, we could choose to praise God. That's what it means, offer up the sacrifices of praise to God. You know, sometimes people feel that they are insincere. They feel like it's not sincere if they sing or if they worship God when they're going through a time of discouragement or hardship. You know, but that's not true. We should praise God whether everything is going well or not, because he is God and he is worthy of all that praise. And God loves us so much that he has provided means by which we can come to him and enjoy that fellowship. You know, so we should praise him when times are tough, even when times are, you know, in our own failure. Even when we have done wrong, we might not feel worthy enough to even go before God. But come boldly before the throne against, we could take mercy before God. He will forgive us, because that is a way, and you know, we still be communicating with God. Sacrifice and pray, we still give him communication with him. And God will find forgiveness in him to help us and to gain that sweet fellowship with him So we have to just praise God continually and offer that fellowship or sacrifice of praise with God and having a conversation, walk with God. That means daily walking with God. And we have to offer that. And that fellowship means just being together as a union, communicating with God through prayer. That's simply talking to God in prayer. And I'm going to also read you the scriptures that you can hold on to that was support fellowshipping with prayer, you know, to God. Psalms 42:1 says, I'm going to read the New International Version, says, as the deer panted for streams of water, so my soul panted for you, my God. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet God? By the day, God directs his love. At night, his song is within me, a prayer to God of my life. Mark 1:35 talks about how Jesus took time in going out and having that fellowship with communicating with God. Mark 1:35 say, very early in the morning, while it is still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You find out your place where you can have quietness, and you make that time, you take that time to be with God all alone and tell him what you want him to know, and listen what he wants you to hear. And the same thing, God will communicate back with you. And also Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. We shall always give God praise and sacrifice praise from our lips no matter what, because he is due and worthy of our praise. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We'd like to thank Dr. June Normiel for an excellent evaluation and explanation of the Word of God coming from our topic, conversational walk with God. She was able to walk us through having fellowship with God through prayer. And she told you how important it is to have fellowship with God through prayer. Number one, we got to be able, in order to know him, in order to have a relationship with him, we're going to have to spend time with him. She so beautifully let us know that, you know, even in the natural, in the carnal, you know, people that you care a lot about, people that you spend time with, people that you see day by day, that's in your heart, those people that you want to spend time, you spend that time with them. You have that attachment with them. Well, God is a jealous God. We need to spend more time with him in order to have that fellowship, in order to know him, be able to walk with him, be able to commune with him. So, therefore, it's very important for us, in order to have fellowship with him, is to spend time with him. I've realized that the trick of the enemy is many times the enemy tries to take us to and fro doing many other things that we think that is so important, but it's really not when we're not spending that quality time with the master. There's no other time. There's no substitute for Christ, spending time with Christ. We can't let somebody else spend time for us. That's good for when people pray for us, but that's good. But we have to spend that one-on-one time with Christ in our prayer, having fellowship with him. God want to hear from us. God want to be able to walk with us and to show us certain things and to share with us and to let us and give us the knowledge of him, even the more the revelation of him, to let us know him even in a greater way. Dr. Norman told us how prayer is communicating with God. It is. It's making our requests before him. It is really also bridging. It bridges the gap between heaven and earth. How are we going to pray? How are we going to get our answers to prayer, to our requests, if we don't pray? God said, make your request known before him. And I realize, and I really know that there are many types of prayer. There are prayers like secret prayer, family prayer, group prayer, public prayer. There's a prayer of adoration. There's prayer of confession and supplication and intercession and thanksgiving. But today we're talking about today having that conversational walk with God. Walking with God is an undeniable opportunity that God has given each and every one of us, that we can do that before him. Well, come on, let's go ahead and walk. Let's go ahead and take a journey through the topic, through the Word of God. We've already told you where our study text is coming from, and we want to be able to walk it out so you get revelation, understanding. And I pray, God, that you have your notebook or piece of paper or a pencil or a pen, and you just jotting down those things that you could be able to go back and start doing the week. I promise you, it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be like food to your soul when you begin to spend time with God. Let nothing, not that favorite television broadcast program that you like, favorite newspaper that you like to read, favorite journal, nothing separate you from spending time with God, not even your best friend, best buddy. Don't let that interfere with you spending time with God. So come on, let's go through our subtopic, which will be pray for everyone. I'm quite sure you're wondering, what is that all about. I know you're saying this is self-explanatory. Pray for everyone. We want to see. We want you to hear what the Word of God has to say through Pastor Francina Shanks. So let's welcome Pastor Francina Shanks to the Breakthrough broadcast as God used her to give us revelation of His Word on today. Pastor Shanks.
To God be the glory. I just thank you for allowing me to be here today on the broadcast. And to Dr. McCoy and the other woman of God, I just thank you for that word, Dr. Norwood. Anyway, I'll be coming to you. My topic is from 1 Timothy, the second chapter, the first through the eighth verse, and my topic is pray for everyone. Here we have the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy and the church telling them about, it's Timothy, telling them about how we as saints are supposed to pray. And verse 1 starts off, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Here the apostle is telling the believers that we as saints, we as believers, we are to pray for all men everywhere and giving of thanks in supplications. That word supplication are specific needs, and we are to do that for everybody and for men that are in authority everywhere, our neighbors, everybody. And intercessions, that's praying for others. We're not to just pray for ourselves, we are to pray for others. This is what the apostle is telling us. We are to pray for one another, pray for others, our neighbors, our nation. Verse 2 is telling us that we are to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Well, we are to pray for our president, the governors of our states and cities that we live in. We are to pray for policemen, judges, all these people that are in authority. We are to pray on our jobs for our bosses, coworkers. Mm-hmm. We are to do this. We are to pray for them, and we are to give thanks for all men. You know, we are to be thankful in prayer and supplications and pray. And verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Pray for all those that are in authority. Now, some of these people that we might that might be in authority in our nation, they might not be righteous, but we are to pray for them anyway, because the Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. So a lot of times we have maybe wicked rulers that are in authority. But we as God's people, the righteous, we are to pray for them when we see them doing things that goes contrary to God, His nature, His word. We are to pray for them and intercede for them, ask God to open up their eyes, you know, save their soul. We're supposed to do that as His people, because He says over in the scripture where it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land, our land. And so we as God's people have to pray. And that's the way this nation was founded upon, in God. The early forefathers, as they are called, came here to worship God, have freedom to worship God, you know, and not be persecuted or jailed, because a lot of them were thrown into prison and tortured because the way they worship God and the way, you know, they, you know, read their Bible and stuff, and so they came over here to have freedom. So in our nation, we have to continue to do this. We have to continue to pray for those that are in authority. Proverbs 14 and 34 talks about this. Say, the righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So we are God's righteous. We're supposed to pray, because sometimes we have these people in authority that are wicked. They don't know God. They're separated from God. So we have to intercede and pray for them and ask God to open up their eyes and have mercy on them in our cities, these mayors or the governors of our states. Because a lot of times we have these people go against things that are in the God's word, his law, the way he does things. So what we have to do is pray. So we are always to pray for those that are in authority. Praise God. Verse 15. And I'm sorry, flipping my Bible over here and went to the wrong page. Verse 4 talks about where it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So, you know, the Lord wants all men to be saved. And that's why Jesus came. He didn't come to condemn man. He came to seek and save those that are lost. And so he wants us to pray for all men so that they can be saved, because this is his desire. And so they can come unto the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, but there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So God is that mediator. He is the one who died on the cross and gave himself as a ransom for us, though mankind. I'm going to say mankind, because we, mankind, we were lost. Men and women, we were lost. Boys and girls, we were lost. And so the Lord himself came and died on the cross for us so we can come back into fellowship with God, to know God for who he is, because he is love. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so we that are God's people, the righteous, we have to continue to pray for men and women, boys and girls that don't have not come to know the Lord. So God wants us to pray for them, because he desired that all men should be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth who he is, that he is a God of love, and he died for mankind. He himself died for us. He was that sacrifice for us, for our sins, because death fell on all of us. But once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have been forgiven. And we as the righteous have to continue to pray, praise God, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I would therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Praise God. So the Lord don't want us to be in a place where we're not praying for others. We are commanded to pray for others, because the scripture says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. That means that our prayers have power and weight. When I say that, our prayers do a lot. So we are to pray and intercede for those in authority. We are to pray for men everywhere, our family members, others. We're not supposed to just pray for ourselves, but pray for others. And this is well pleasing to God, because our prayers have value. They can help. And they can help a nation. They can help people. They can help our unsaved loved ones, other people that are not saved, those that are in authority. Prayer is very important, and that's why we're commanded to pray for everyone everywhere. And I just thank God for his word today. And I will leave you with that. Pray for everyone, for it is God's commandment that we do so. And I'm turning back over to Dr. McCoy. To God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do.
We would like to thank God for Pastor Francina Shanks, as God used her to be a blessing to his people on today, and to let us know that we need to pray for everyone, not just for ourselves. Sometimes we can get so into ourselves and we don't pray for, and we do not pray one for another. It is very important that we pray for other people. I believe she mentioned about praying for those that are in authority. You may not be in agreement with the authority of the person that's in leadership, but yet you need to pray for those people, those individuals, so God can move in their life. You know, how are we going to see change in our society, and how are we going to see change in the world if we don't pray for those that are in leadership and we don't pray one for another? I know that we all go through different things in our lives, but we need to first to be able to seek God in behalf of those that are around us, those that are for all, those that don't know how to pray, those that are not living according to God's righteousness. We need to pray. We're in a time that I believe that God is stirring up our heart to pray, pray for others, pray for the needs of others. So when we begin to just look at what the women of God just said to us on today about this fellowship with God through prayer, and we'll pray for everyone. Then we will go to our third and last subtopic, which is perseverance, persevere in prayer. Yes, we have to persevere in prayer. When we look at Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning at that first through that eighth verse, it reads, "And he spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought always, not sometime, but always to pray and not to faint." In other words, we always ought to pray and we're not to faint. In other words, we're not to give up. We're not to lose heart in our prayer. Just because we don't see God moving on behalf in the natural, by the physical eye, and we don't give up, because we have to have that faith in God to believe that God, he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, when we look at, as we go through the word of God, as we go through the 18th chapter of Luke, we see even so, when we bring back to remembrance, that the word of God says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, you may not see things changing as rapidly or when you want them to change, but you've got to believe that in your prayer, in your intercession, in your petitioning before God, that God, he hears, and that he will move on your behalf, and not only on your behalf, but in behalf of the people. Now, when we began to look at that second verse, it says, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regarded man. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weareth me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bear long with them? I told you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I believe that that is, so to speak, a mouthful. I believe that even as we begin to look at the 18th chapter of St. Luke, that it gives us, as God, he many times, he spoke in a parable to the disciples, and he's speaking even during the power in the day's time, that we could understand the revelation of what he is saying to us on today. Now we see how that woman, how she went to the natural man. I mean, he wasn't God. He was as a natural man with certain limited power. Well, it wearied him for her to keep coming. It wearied him to even see her. So therefore, he thought within himself, you know, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to avenge her because she wearied me. Her continually coming wearied me. Well, God is not like that, King. God is not like people that's in leadership position. God is not, that is not fair. God is not the person that we read about in the 18th chapter of Luke. God doesn't get weary when we come to him and petition him and ask him for certain things in our life. It doesn't matter if we come 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It does not weary him when we come, when we ask. Why? Because the word of God says, ask and it shall be given. He said to seek and ye shall find. He said to knock and the door shall be open. He said, we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Say to the mountain, be thou moved. God's word says that he will hear us no matter what. He will hear us in our prayer. But all God wants us to be is to persevere. You see how this woman, she didn't give up. She didn't care what he looked like. You know, sometimes people, you may go to people, they give you this funny look, brush you off. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They tired of hearing you, what you have to say. But this woman, no matter what, how many times that she had went to the man and asked him to avenge her, she did not give up. She did not give up, no matter what the judge said, no matter how he made look, no matter how many times he didn't hear a case, she did not care. But I'm telling you that God, he does care. And if it weird the natural man, if it weird him for her coming, well, it's not going to weird God for our coming because he wants us to come before him. When I think about the prayer says, he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, and we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So it let us know even that God has given us the model prayer to pray because he wants us to pray. He don't want us to faint. He don't want us to give up. He don't want us to act like that he's not there and that he's not going to help us and he doesn't have our best interest at heart. But he wants us to persevere. Well, you may say, Dr. McCoy, how a persevere in? Well, there's so many things that you can persevere in. As being, especially being the people of God, not giving up, because God wants us to pray. We are those people that's on the wall praying for a nation, praying for the people that they will be in right relationship with God, that they will hear God, that they will be obedient to God. Well, we need to, and we're, when we speak about perseverance, being perseverance, we're speaking of being steadfast. God tells us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor will not be in vain. Our prayer is not going to be. It takes effort. It takes you getting up. Sometimes people don't want to get up and pray. Sometimes, you know, they don't want to, and I'm not saying you got to get up and pray. You can be sitting down and pray. You can be kneeling and pray. Whatever position that you're in, you still can pray. You'll be driving down the street, and you can still pray. But yet, you can't let anything, you can't let the cares of this life keep you from praying, because that is the very thing that the enemy wants to bring to the forefront, bring to you, that you don't, that you won't pray. Are you giving up because of the fact that you don't see things happen the way that you want them to happen? Well, God is telling us to be steadfast. Not only that, he's telling us to be persistent in our faith with him, in praying. We got to be persistent. This woman was persistent. She did not give up. And we need to be persistent in our spiritual growth. And that's, and we can't, in order to be persistent in our spiritual growth, we got to read the Word of God. We got to go to places like our church, the leader of our church, that we could hear the Word of God, the ministers of God, that they're proclaiming the Word of God, proclaiming the truth. We have to be persistent and being fruitfulness. How can we going to bring forth fruit if we don't abide in him, we don't stay in him, if we don't walk in the way that God will have us to walk? How are we going to bear fruit? So in order to do that, we need to be persistent. We need to be steadfast. We need to be unmovable. And not only that, we got to persevere in by putting on the armor of God, by putting on the helmet of salvation, of the breastplate of righteousness. We need our feet shodded with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can't get up without having the armor on, because you can have part of armor on and not be dressed, and yet be the warfare of the enemy could possibly take you out because you don't have everything on that you should have on. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's very important. We can persevere in that chastening, persevere in of having assurance of God. You know, to know that God is your. There's a song that says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We got to have that assurance, and you got to know God is your God, and the God that you serve, and the God that you're going to serve no matter what happens from day to day. You got to know that, have that blessed assurance. And if you read 2 Timothy 1 and 12, you might want to go and you will, it talks about the assurance. And then you got to have salvation. You got to stand steadfast in your persistency upon the your having a salvation. A part of being saved, it is being saved and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, not only proclaiming, not only saying it, but you got to have a life that reflects to being saved. You know, a lot of people, they say, some people I would say that they're saved, but they don't have that perseverance. They don't have that steadfastness. You know, they're not trusting God the way God wants us to trust him. And that's what God wants us to do, to be able to trust him no matter what, you know. And then when we do that, he will reward us. So let's say, don't stress out. Live in the, know that God's going to give us justice, like he gave like the judge that gave the woman justice. The judge wasn't God. He wasn't even representing God. But he let us know that God is not like that judge, but he is God, and that he will give us justice. He will give us justice. When you say you don't have justice, just wait on God and be of good courage. Don't quit. That's another thing. Don't quit. We got to persevere. And how are we going to do that? We're going to pray. The word of God says, I heard the woman of God said, she said, the word of God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way, she said that you will hear from heaven. And he said he will forgive our sins. He will heal of the land. So it takes us not quitting. It takes us to continue in the things of God. We're not going to get anything from God if we give up and we don't continue in the things of God. So, you know, without saying, God is just. God is just in every situation. God is just. We can look at things in the world today. We see a lot of injustice, but remember, God is just. God is just, and that if we are persistent and if we persevere from day to day, God will bring us out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. We just want to thank you, our radio audience, for tuning in today to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We will thank God, as always, for the women of God that love God, that loves God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Women of God that have stood the test and is standing the test of time because of their persistence to do what God has called them to do. Now, listen, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're getting ready to pray because, as we said before, that the word of God tells us that man shall always pray and not to faint. We're getting ready to pray. We're getting ready to go before the Most High God. Well, we are going to ask Dr. June Normill. We're going to ask her to pray for the salvation of those that are listening to this broadcast that are not saved, that haven't given their life to Christ. And then we're going to come and we're going to ask Pastor Francina Shanks. We're going to ask her to pray for those out there in our audience. You may have some infirmities, some sickness, some things that you need prayer and that you need somebody to help make that request to be able to stand in agreement with you. And we're believing God today, not tomorrow. We're believing God today that your healing will be manifested in your body. And maybe you may not see the manifestation of the healing, but you still believe that, and knowing that God will not fail, and God, no matter what the enemy try to tell you, to let you know that that you are healed, and that you will have a testimony of the healing and the power of the Most High God. I would like to say to you, even after the broadcast is over, you call 904-674-7831, and if you have experienced healing after the broadcast is over, we want you to give us a call to let us know, but hey, I was listening to the broadcast today, and I was going through whatever, and I was healed on the broadcast. Or any time that we have prayed and you was healed by the hand of God through the spoken word, we want you to let us know, because we do know that the word of God is right and the word of God will forever stand. Because it says that heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the word will fail. So we're going to go to Dr. June Normill. She's going to pray for all of you that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior, or you may be a backslider. Come on. Come on, go back and come to Jesus today. Dr. June Normale.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, God, for allowing us, God, to hear the word of God, God, that came for your people this day, God. God, right now, God, there have been some people in the broadcast, God, in the radio audience, God, that heard this some conversation, God, we had about you, God, and they want to get to know you, God, and have that conversation, God, with you personally, God. And, God, those that heard what we had said, God, know what the Bible say, whosoever cometh to you, God, you will in no wise cast out, God. You say, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those in radio land, just repeat after me, God, forgive me of my sins. I don't want to be a sinner, God. God, I do believe that Jesus died and he was on the cross, God. And you raised him from the cross, God. He raised from the dead, God. And God, you say, whosoever will come into your name, God, coming to you, God, you will not cast out, God. We thank you, God, for receiving us, God, into the fold, God. We thank you, God, that they're having a party in heaven, God. The angels are rejoicing, God, because I have came into your life, God. You is now my Lord, God. And I can have that personal conversation with you, God, personally, God. And God, I ask you, God, to fill me with the Holy Spirit, God. Feel that I have the power, God, to walk right, God, to talk right, God, to live right, God, to live the best I could according to your will, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for saving me, God. And God, those, God, that are backsliders, God. God, you say, whosoever we are coming to you, God, you are not cast out, God. You are waiting on them, God, like the prodigal son, God. Father, waiting on him, God. Return them back to you, God. You receive them, God. Let them come to you, God, asking you, God, to take them back. You had never left them, God, but they came to themselves and came back into the fold, God. We thank you, God, for receiving the backsliders, God, and even filling them even more, God, with the Holy Spirit to get them power, God, to live right, God. We thank you, God, for salvation, God, those who have given their life to you, God, even the backslider, God. And we thank you, God, that we all will have a good conversation, God, to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. At this time, we will hear from Pastor Francina Shanks.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just come before you in agreement with Dr. McCoy and Dr. Norwood as they pray with me. I bring your people before you, those who have sicknesses in their bodies. I would like to tell everyone that's listening that if you're sick, or you've been diagnosed with sickness or illness, to place your hand on that part of your body. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak healing to you over that infirmity. If you have arthritis or if you are bound by depression, I command depression to loose you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And those of you that have been diagnosed with cancer in your body, lay your hands on that part of your body. I rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. I command every cancer cell to dry up in Jesus' name. And I command that sickness to loose you now in Jesus' name, and I speak healing to your body of every infirmity, every condition. Those of you that have heart problems, I speak healness to your heart in Jesus' name. I command every artery to be unblocked and for that blood to flow to your heart and every part of your body in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I want you to go back to your doctors. If you was diagnosed with any sickness or condition, life-threatening disease, go back to your doctor and let your doctor check you. But this is what I want you to do, beloved. Speak the word of God out of your mouth. Believe it and receive it. And begin to say, by his stripes, I am healed. Because Jesus bore your infirmities and your sicknesses on the cross. He was whipped at the whipping pole for you. When the Roman soldiers whipped him with that whip, he took stripes upon his body for your healing. According to Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, or with his stripes, we are healed. And so start confessing that out of your mouth, beloved. Say, with his stripes, I am healed. Or you can say, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. But go back to your doctors. And so I give God the glory for the great things he has done and will do. Turn it back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Jim Normeal, Pastor Francina Shanks, and all of you in our radio broadcasting audience that have taken the time to listen to this broadcast, not just today, but every day, every Saturday that you have tuned in to listening to the Breakthrough broadcast. We certainly appreciate you. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he bless you in your going in and your coming out. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy with the Breakthrough broadcast. May God the beginning and the end of your day.